Egos, actually, Brandon Flowers' solo album, of course, and Only the Young. Right, moving onwards, William Setwell, as we mentioned, should be up next. We've left the message with Katie Grimmison. We had a few other bits and pieces to work our way through. Shall we talk about the Little Red Gallery?
Yes.
All right, then. The Little Red Gallery in Balegate in Lincoln. Have you actually been there, Emma?
No, I don't think I have, actually.
Well, this Saturday, there's an exhibition and indeed a visit from Edward Waite, an internationally renowned artist. Everyone's invited to meet him, and there'll be some live painting and a large collection of his work. Edward, a local artist, born in Skegness.
Mm-hmm.
Took an active interest in art from a young age, spent most of his school hours in the art classroom, where he would frequently sketch and paint images of life on the coast. He moved to Lincoln to study fine art at university and absorbed himself within the lights and structures of his new surroundings. He began to paint dark Gothic interpretations of the city's buildings. Following graduation, he embarked on a two-year journey across the globe, sketching constantly throughout, and over time these sketches evolved into larger scale canvases, etc. I think that's the call and the number that Emma's going to actually deal with to actually get. You see, isn't that wonderful? You see, oh, the timing, the strategy, mm-hmm. Everything works wonderfully. That's the important thing there. But if you are interested in going to see the work of Edward Waite, rightly given pride of place in the John Wenham diary here, Saturday the 15th of November from 1 p.m. through to 4 p.m. It's a visit and exhibition of Edward Waite at the Little Red Gallery in Lincoln. So great stuff as far as that's concerned. And Emma having Julie seated, obviously she was needed. Destiny was bringing her to that sort of world to actually take that whole call. And I presume that all is go for Dr. Linda Papadopoulos.
Yes.
Marvellous. It's not a made-up name either. She is
fantastic name.
A genuine doctor, and indeed, you know, Dr. Linda Papadopoulos will be talking about the wonderful world of me time and the fact that we need more downtime, which I think we were all agreed on yesterday was really the sort of the ideal way forward, that we do actually mm-hmm. need more downtime to actually work our way through that. Lack of me time is burning out Brits. More than half of us don't get enough weekly downtime, leading to tiredness, stress, and even depression. Fortunately, as Phil Leon has actually said, there's always Siren 107.3 FM and the Midweek Drive to effectively address those issues, at least for 4 hours each week. Time travelling, pop yourself on YouTube, type in Congregation with Softly Whispering I Love You, and you will be taken by surprise. It's extraordinary. Our lead singer, at least, almost rock and roll. A bit like Nick Elliott will be. He'll be returning, of course, to produce his range of rock music, of course. That's something that Emma didn't quite experience. The rock show extravaganza of not our very own rock train people, but indeed Nick Elliott, ace rock photographer.
Coming
very soon. Possibly next week, but definitely the week after. Yeah, I know.
Very exciting.
Everything's sorted now. And,
yes, I think so. Is it okay to go to Jane for 9:45?
Hopefully, yes. Might be just a little bit after that, but you know, we'll sort the thing through. Yes. Timing. It's the essence of comedy. Or maybe it's just the teapot falling off the chair. Said earlier, when it's fair to say that a sharp intake of breath was given when we looked at William Sitwell's Facebook DJ photograph of, yeah, check this, I'm on Soho Radio, yeah, dude. we could only say that what better way to actually sort of prep for his regular weekly slot on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Siren 107.3 FM than obviously doing stuff with BBC Radio 4 and indeed cycling whilst you're actually doing the link. Good morning, William.
Hello.
Well, we had hoped he'd be there.
He's too busy.
He's too busy.
I heard something.
We did hear something. Can you hear us, William Sedgwell? We certainly can't hear him at all, can we?
No.
We might have to redial. Oh, well, never mind. Where did we go indeed? Obviously, we didn't go anywhere, but William, we thought you'd cycled under a tunnel or something. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well indeed.
How were those people at BBC Radio 4? Did they look after you on the Today programme?
Sarah Montague's charming.
Right.
It's a very sleek setup.
Mm.
Modern and quiet and peaceful.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, well, lights are dimmed. The piece before me, probe has landed on the comet, I believe. Isn't that exciting?
Exactly. Success. It just shows what Europe can do, as indeed our ace astronomer correspondent Paul Money actually said in a recent Facebook update. But we were sharing the excitement that we had in the studio, the frisson of excitement that kind of thrilled us and the good villagers of Lincoln as we saw your image of the man behind the DJ voice at Soho earlier this week. William, I mean, are you really so down with the kids these days that the... the baseball cap is being worn back to front, and you're just checking it out, are you not?
Well, you know, I know how to embarrass myself. Mina Holland is a fantastic journalist, and she edits Guardian Cook.
Mm-hmm.
She came on my show. She always has a beautiful hat put on her beautiful head. And I asked her before she came on my show what hat she'd be wearing. And she was less interested in her own hat than the hat she brought in for me. So I had to model it. There you go.
I'm very impressed with respect to that. So whereabouts are you cycling at present? Did the BBC not provide you with a chauffeur-driven limousine? Do they not know who you are? I mean, what's it?
You know that I cycle everywhere for the good of my health.
Well, this is true.
I'm currently on Westbourne Grove in London, cycling past some of the fancy places, Dalesford Organic, Leon Max, very smart clothes brand. That my wife works for coincidentally.
You see,
all is good.
There's a whole new feature here. William describes the places he cycles past. You know, or as he said, DJ sitters in the house on Ladies' Day, which is fantastic. You know, just say hats off to Mina Holland, and obviously we must be featuring Mina. But of course, since then, you've been doing lots of other things, as well as, of course, Soho Radio. What were you talking about on National BBC Radio 4? You'll appreciate we didn't have a chance to listen to it because we were entertaining our own troops at the time.
Well, it's 40 years since first McDonald's opened in the UK.
Right.
Their first branch in Woolwich.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about the society that McDonald's had and the fact that it, you know, democratised food for so many people in this country. It sounds like a Ponzi expression, but basically it made the idea of going to a restaurant more affordable. People, you know, were in the early 70s, back in those dark days of corduroys and kipper ties and the colour brown, they probably went to a restaurant maybe twice a year and it enabled people to eat more often. And, you know, you can't blame McDonald's for obesity and diabetes. And as I said on Today, if you're fat, because you've probably eaten too much and not exercised enough. So moderation in all things. But what it also did was it was part of a trend in terms of breaking down the times of day that we ate. Because McDonald's enabled you to stop and have a meal, you know, at any time of day, so good or ill. It enabled children on their way home to stop and have a bite, so their stressed out parents didn't have to cook them dinner, for good or ill. And it enabled people to, you know, fill their tummies for relatively small amounts of money. So, you know, that's what fast food has done over the centuries. That's what fish and chips did when it started at the sort of turn of the 19th century. Hang on, there's a policeman. I've got to put my phone down.
Absolutely. It's all right. We'll talk while we'll fill, whilst obviously the officer actually sorts his way through that. Yeah. We can't do with an arrest on air here. I mean, far too radical, really.
So, you know, it was part of what has been an increasing trend. And, of course, what you've seen is people rebelling against McDonald's, like Henry Dimbleby, opening in Leon restaurants and so on. There is a never-ceasing end to the amount of burger joints that open. McDonald's is sort of part of that. But then it also follows the trend by, you know, serving food that's only sourced from British farms. And I don't think they serve those milkshakes anymore. You need an industrial suction pump to get out. You remember Ben Elton's comedy routine?
Yeah, well, you know, as I say, bearing in mind we've got Emma and Jessica here, both of whom have actually sort of alluded to the fact that they're going to battle against the preconception and stereotype that students actually eat unhealthily because they're poor cooks, and they're taking my suggested challenge, William, of taking part in the midweek drive at Cake Off, or indeed Bake Off, or some such routine. Again, we put this together earlier in the year, William, when you sort of suggested you could come up with the recipes and the Midrick Drivettes could produce it. Are you up for that, Emma Tinson?
I'm definitely up for this, especially if it means we get to eat lots of cake.
Oh, yes.
There we are. So it will be happening once again, William. The cake-off will resume, no doubt. Jessica, any questions you want to ask William about that sort of celebration that's 40 years since the sign of the Golden Arches, the man of whom, Ray Kroc, actually sort of was more interested in real estate than making burgers, actually sort of set up sticks in the British Isles. Obviously, other fast food joints are available, including chicken and indeed other burger scenarios.
Mm. Do you get takeout often?
Yes, William. How often do you get takeout?
Well, when I'm in London during the week when I'm working, I tend to eat out at restaurants because it is my duty to review them on behalf of the British public. Mm-hmm. When I go home, we tend to eat in. But that doesn't mean to say that I don't occasionally go to the very good Indian restaurant in Brackley in Northamptonshire and get a takeaway. So the Dan Shiri, I think it's called. So, yeah, Indian takeaway probably. Mm. And very rarely fish and chips, sometimes in Ireland. But my family, we don't tend to frequent the Golden Arches, I'm afraid. I'm sure they'd love to.
And then, bear in mind, coming up in a few moments, we'll be speaking to Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist who claims that effectively longer working hours and fear of missing out have the biggest negative impact on mental downtime. William, we as British people are working far too much. We don't get enough weekly downtime. This leads to tiredness, stress and even depression. The wind! I can't stand the wind anymore! But have you got any questions you'd like us to put to Linda on your behalf as a very hard-working presenter, radio presenter, host, writer, editor of Waitrose Food? What sort of questions would you like us to put to Linda Papadopoulos on your behalf?
I think why, basically. Just
why.
Ask
her why. Yeah, they're profound as ever. Emma, any sort of final thoughts for William about life, the universe, or indeed fast food establishments?
I think just, I mean, I'm amazed at how much you do as a sort of culinary journalist, as you might say it. Yeah. So how do you manage to do so much?
What's the secret, William?
I think I pretend I'm busy all the time with other projects. I don't know. The more you do, the more you do. So, you know, I flip between TV, book, radio, magazine, digital, various charitable works. I'm a brand ambassador for Beanstalk, which is very important. We should talk about that. I think we have one day. Mm. Encourages kids to read in primary school who can't read so good.
Can't read so well, not so good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad that you also like The Shawshank Redemption. Those who watched
made
that film will understand our
mutual joke. Indeed, yes, yeah. It's a joyous thing. So, has the cycling stopped now? Are you at your place of work? Has it managed to? I mean, cycling and doing a radio interview—that deserves a round of applause.
Well,
come on,
yeah, I finished now. My worry is I'm now going to join John Brown Media Oxford The last person into the room does the minutes, so I may have to blame you or the fact that I was addressing the nation if I'm the last one in the room.
I think, you know, those things, and obviously you'll get a get-out-of-jail-free card, you know, any time it's an access all areas pass being on the Madrid Drive Morning Edition. Last two questions for William, please. Jessica?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
It's been an adventure, thank you.
Oh, great. And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Doubtless.
And inventive ideas for all occasions and celebrations by the legend that is Jane Means. That seems to suggest we'll be speaking to the legendary Jane Means, and indeed we are. Jane, wonderful to connect with a good self. Yesterday, of course, you were busily entrenched in a whole range of things. In fact, you just about sort of finished your very busy work bit when the show Inspired on Air had actually come to an end. But never mind, you're with us now, and that's the important thing. And share with us, Jane, what Kirsty Allsop refers to when she says, and I quote, "Jane Means shows us how to transform even an ordinary gift into something sensational."
Good morning.
Morning.
Good, very good question. Kirsty Allsop, I did some work with her last year on her Christmas book and was drafted in to do a whole chapter in the book about gift wrapping. And I suppose I just caught her eye. And then when the book came out, I said, "Would you mind please giving me a quote?" And she jumped at the chance.
Of course, absolutely. And it wasn't anything to do with buildings either. We have two fabulous students in the co-presentational seats today. We've got Jessica Ward and Emma Tinson. And it's fair to say both Jessica and Emma are thinking about Christmas festivities, etc., practical and inventive ideas for this could be of interest, could it not, Jessica?
Oh, definitely. If you've got any cheap tips for students, that would be great.
See, obviously, you could buy the book. It's a mere £20, available in hardback, or you could meet Jane personally when she comes up to Lincoln, either at Waterstone shortly, or indeed at those fabulous base of Linden books with Jill Hart and Sasha.
Ooh.
That's the plug, Jane.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. But I'm delighted to say the book was actually written in Lincoln. I live in London, but my office and my family and friends and everybody are in Lincoln, but like many of us, I have to live in the big smoke to get the work. And I just came up to Lincoln for about 2 months, and I went into a complete recluse in Bracebridge Heath and wrote it. And it's now going all over the world. And luckily, we've got quite a lot of Lincolnshire, suppliers and small businesses in there, which is brilliant.
Absolutely. Now, the thing I like about this is that all projects that you put into this book are all shown with clear and easy to follow step-by-step instructions. Now, there is a Scandinavian furniture manufacturer that obviously claims to do the same thing, but you always are left with an Allen key. What use is that? Please.
Oh, I'm rubbish. I'm absolutely rubbish at flat pack furniture. And I just think if I can do it, anyone can do it. And also, you'll laugh about students being on the cheap. I am still a student at 45. I look at it, I think I'll try and cut costs wherever possible. So there are loads of thrifty ideas in there, whether you're a student or not.
There we are.
Mm-hmm.
Emma.
Yeah, well, this sounds fantastic. I always get really excited around the Christmas kind of time of year. I haven't got excited yet because
too
I
early,
think it's
it?
Too early, despite all the adverts on TV
and
stuff.
December.
But I know.
But yeah, when we get to December, I think I will start getting a bit more excited.
That's the same for me. As soon as December hits, I get Christmassy, but I can't until then. I'm just too busy with work, actually, as well.
Yeah.
So is simplicity the key routine? I mean, you know, if you actually said, "I'm just going to wrap it in a brown paper parcel," that's all we actually want. Is that the key thing, or are we looking for colour? What would you say is in this year, Jane, when it comes to Christmas wrapping?
There's a bit of everything in this year, so you can mix and match. There are so many different trends. Simplicity, yes. And I believe, I love brown paper, and I design all my ribbons around brown paper, so I'm a massive lover of it. Mm. And my sort of ethos is, have quite a plain canvas, as in a wrapping paper, and it's the sort of, I don't know, the finishing touches and the ribbons that really make a present. So if you use a very heavily patterned paper, by the time you go and add a little bit of ribbon on, even if it's your curling ribbon, the ribbon actually gets a bit lost on it. So, for me, simplicity is definitely my style.
Waterstones in Lincoln on the 19th of November, and Linden Books, I'll say that again, Linden Books, because we like Linden Books. We like the other place as well, but, you know, just probably surprising me. Exactly. Linden Books on the 21st of November. That's when you'll actually be back in Lincoln. Of course, you can also go to janemeans.com. We've just done that now. You can grab your signed copy here with complimentary gift wrapping. Yay!
I'll wrap it myself. I know. I've got a ton of books to be done, so I'm back up in the Shire next week. I can't wait.
Well, I'm particularly interested in these spotty cellophane roll. Surely it should be spotty sticky back plastic, but no, it's cellophane. It's a spotty cellophane roll. The violet stitch ribbon. I mean, there's literally. I mean, yeah. Welcome wow. to. I mean, that's what you call serious. That's the Formula One of wrapping paper. Yeah. If we're looking for definitely. Raspberry and cream grey spotty ribbon, that's there. The raspberry eyelet tags. Yeah. This is classic. This is classic stuff, Joe. You know, very impressive.
But I'll tell you something. The worst thing, or probably the best thing about our job, is that our gift wrapping service is about to kick in, and this year we're working for Ralph Lauren, Dior, Chanel, Harrods, Selfridges, and of course you're surrounded by these, well, girls, you'll back me up on this, gorgeous handbags and stuff, and you just think, I want one of those, and then you look at the price tag with the four figures and you think, maybe not, I'll just
and then you
dreaming.
Become very depressed.
I do, and I think, oh, you know, there's people buying three or four, and you think, oh, I want one, I only want one, but, you know. Jane, too much wages to tap into it.
This is clearly why you were commissioned to make a card for Her Majesty the Queen, which went on display in Buckingham Palace
wow.
Mews. And a regular supplier to Harvey Nicks. I shall say no more, but there we are. And that's a whole range of sort of factors. In the early days, you're now, of course, the passionate gift wrapping guru, as we said, and services for a whole heap of blue chip companies that's actually around there. Jane, it's been fabulous just touching base with a good soul today. We need to head on because time is tight, but have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I've loved chatting with you guys. Keep up the brilliant work.
I see, interestingly enough, from the photographs as well, that Paul O'Grady is fascinated by the pink wrapping paper that obviously demonstrated there on the Paul O'Grady show. Very good. So
that was hilarious. Twitter went absolutely mad after that. It was just...
I'm not surprising. You know, it's a good warm-up for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. So the next critical question is, can we look forward to featuring you again in the not-too-distant future? Will you return to the programme, Jane?
I would love to, wrapped or not.
Oh, just a round of applause, please, for the fabulous Jane. Is brilliant.
Thank you.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, Tim.
Hey, you talked to Mark lately?
I haven't really talked to him, but he looks pretty down.
Steal My Sunshine. Well, hopefully sunshine continues and those magical folk are doing all sorts of magical things at the other end of the whole system. And we can actually say psychologist Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, are you indeed there?
I am. Hello.
He punches the sky with joy and happiness. We know that Rachel's working her little socks off at present in terms of keeping everybody happy on this. And she's doing a fine job as well. But actually, Linda, this is one of those key areas where actually the notion of lack of me time is burning us out as a British nation. We can't cope with it, you know.
Well, it seems so. It seems so. I've been working with eHarmony to kind of look at what do we want in terms of me time. And, you know, the average person gets about 20 hours a week. Now, what do we mean by me time? It actually means the amount of time that you're focused on what you need as opposed to anyone else. You're able to unwind, to focus, to have self-care, all of those things. But actually, they're falling about 10 hours short. They're, you know, it seems that people want about 30 hours of that downtime. We're actually getting about 20. Now, 20 might seem like a lot, but if you kind of factor in all of the weekends, all of the evenings, it's really not.
Now, this survey, which came across from eHarmony, of course, eHarmony.co.uk, despite needing around 20 hours of mental downtime a week, it would seem that only 2/5 of Brits are meeting this requirement, as you've rightly said. We've got two very hard-working students in the studio at present, as well as co-presenting the show. That's Emma and Jessica. Jessica, when we talked about this last night, of course, you thought, oh, it's the fabulous Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. What were your thoughts on this me-time, downtime setup?
Well, I thought that... Me personally, I don't get enough downtime.
So how can a hard-working level 2 journalist actually stand up for getting some more downtime, Linda? Is it just a case of, look, enough's enough?
Yeah, do you know what? It, it's it's like anything. You need to make a conscious effort. You need to make a conscious effort when you want that change. And if you think about how many times in our lives we may, you know, consciously factor in extra meetings or extra work or anything else that feels that we have to do, it's not going to happen by accident that you're able to have that those 2 hours, those 5 hours, those 10 hours where you can actually unwind. You need to make a conscious effort to increase that self-care. And it is really fundamental. I mean, not just from a psychological point of view, but when we were doing the research, we found that people feel tired, they feel more stressed, they feel burnt out, and they feel depressed and even less attractive. And I found this a particularly telling stat, the idea that I'm constantly focused on everyone else, I'm constantly focused on what I have to do, that ultimately there's so little attention being paid to me that I feel, I kind of guess, at the bottom of my list.
And from a psychology perspective, is it important to our mental health that actually we do, you know, take time out to chill and we use the phrase chillax, you know, relax and effectively, you know, just unwind to enable our kind of our minds to reboot themselves?
Absolutely. It's actually fundamental. And people may think that by not having me time, they're more productive. If you look at research around the area, ensuring that when you are tired and burnt out, you actually take time off. And better yet, don't do it when you're tired. You know, don't wait till the point that you're burnt out. Make sure. And something like reclaiming Sundays. One of the things that we did with eHarmony is, if you go on to eharmony.co.uk/lovesundays, is we have a whole bunch of tips and different ideas for what different people do. So if you're a very creative person, reclaiming that Sunday to spend time creating something, you know, whether it's a lovely lunch or drawing or even if it's listening to your own music or reading a book, there's something very important about that mindfulness, about saying, you know what, I'm a human being, not a human doing, and I'm going to take that, I'm going to carve out that time, and it's going to be just for me.
For young adults, it would seem that it's the fatal browsing social media sites that has a big impact, with 1 in 10 citing FOMO, fear of missing out, as a real issue. Jessica, your thoughts on FOMO?
I think I suffer with FOMO.
How can we help Jessica, Linda? What, she's suffering from FOMO. She's a level one journalism student. What's the advice?
Oh, Jessica, you know what? I think the most important thing you have to be aware of is when you're on social media sites, to not compare. I mean, they're made for connecting, even though what we use them for is comparing. And when we compare, we constantly compare upwards, right? So we never compare with someone that's doing something less interesting or is eating at a place that's less yummy or is looking, you know, more tired. We always compare to something that's ideal. Ultimately, this is your experience, your life. So once you make a choice, as much as you can, put the smartphone away and engage with it. So if that choice is to stay in, you know, and watch your favorite movie and eat your favorite Ben and Jerry's on a night, then you do that and you actually enjoy it without thinking what else you can be. So it's about committing to the decision that you make. And one of the best ways to commit is to not compare.
Well, we actually don't judge others, judge something yourself. In fact, don't even judge yourself, just be happy with who
yourself.
You are.
Yeah.
Linda, it's been fantastic touching base with yourself. I love the regional descriptions as well, because I would have thought that actually London would have been far ahead of the league in terms of amount of me time, but it's actually sort of fairly low down. It's the North East that actually has most me time, 28 hours. In the East Midlands, of course, we're in 7th position with an average of 19 and a half hours, or 19.52 hours of me time. But you can always have more, that's the important thing. And indeed you should, without necessarily feeling guilty about it. I mean, is it guilt? Does that also impact on us sometimes? We feel guilty that we're actually taking time out?
Yeah, I mean, when we look to kind of the barriers of me time, you know, part of it was guilt, but part of it was just practicalities. I need to get chores done, my personal admin. Thinking about work was a big one. So just kind of ruminating that, you know, I may not be in the office, it's Sunday, but already I'm kind of projecting forward. So it's about reclaiming those Sundays, you know. You're not in the office, you're where you are. Be aware of that thinking. Be aware of the guilt or the projecting forward.
Linda, it's been fantastic touching base with yourself. Fascinating world. We've got two final questions for you. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
I have loved it, and it's great speaking to you call them a level one journalist. Thank you for speaking to me.
I call one a level one journalist, another one a level two journalist. They're first and
level
second years. I know, it's amazing. You know, we might go to level three in postgraduate before too long, but, you know, what the hey. Can we then look forward to hopefully featuring you again in the not-too-distant future and again finding out more from the fabulous world of Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist extraordinaire?
Absolutely, I'm here anytime. It's been a real pleasure, as always.
Hey, round of applause, please, for Linda Papadopoulos. Brilliant stuff. And just relax.
lot longer if you live without me. So don't get me wrong, it's not that I knock it, it's just that I am not in the market for a boy who wants to love only me. Yes, and I ain't saying you ain't pretty. I'm saying I'm not ready for any person, place or thing. Time live a lot longer if you live without me.
There we are, Stone Ponies, or technically Linda Ronstadt and Different Drum on Siren 107.3 FM. Excellent stuff. In fact, so excellent, I'm almost tempted to say...
Hi, I'm Rupert Baker, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Levchuk and the team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Very good, Rupert, thank you. Well, there we are. In case you may be wondering, because we haven't got the webcam on, is everybody still there? No, actually, Jessica Ward has left us.
It's very sad.
I think it was something I must have said, actually. It was a downtime.
She just ran off.
Well, I did feel that obviously playing Men at Work, which are an Australian band, earlier in the production, could have actually tipped
it deeply
the
offended her.
Exactly. We'll put it. We can't think of many. Well, there are New Zealand musicians obviously out there. Just can't think of many at present. Anyway, that's a different line. Perhaps you'd like to send it in. Send in your messages. Tweet us and all the rest of the bits and pieces with respect to messages for New Zealand bands. We should set up a whole
bands,
setup.
Yes.
Yeah. Lots of sheep, but not a great deal of musicians. So we'll work our
way. And hobbits, of course.
And, of course, inevitably, hobbits.
Like a big, bold bird braving the battlements of broadcasting, it's the Midweek Drive time on Siren 107.3 FM.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. That I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone and I just can't get it back. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, the story's always in. If you read between the lines, you'll know that I'm just trying to understand that you laugh. I never thought I could feel this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone and I just can't get it back.
With a Canadian, Gordon Lightfoot. If you could read my mind. Emma, have you enjoyed your first complete full 7,200 seconds of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Wow, I have very much enjoyed it.
Splendid. Still to come on Siren, lots of magical music between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. 11 a.m, of course, this morning, 11 o'clock, Minds at War. That's the third part of the excellent series that's been put together by our very own Ben Pickard in commemoration of the Great War. Of course, that's between 11 and 12 noon. And then 12 noon, it's the Motor City Resonation with Lita Rosen that joins us, followed by No Adults Allowed between 3 and 5. And then, of course, another Drive Time at 5. We'd just like to sort of run our mini roll of honour, of course, and say thanks to Natalie Tuck, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, William Sitwell, Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, Matt Tebbutt, Saren Evans, and, of course, Jessica Ward, Emma Tinson, and your good self, dear listener, for being with us for the duration. That's pretty much it. I gather that your grandmama was listening. Yes,
my nan was listening yesterday. She's a little bit confused as to why I was on the radio. Well, she didn't quite get it, but she was very pleased that I gave her a little shout out.
It's a new, you know, you've done it again.
I know.
Exactly. So there we are. It's a wrap. Back again on Wednesday evening, Emma.
Of course.
There we are. Siren 107.3 FM, Midweek Drive, Morning Edition. It's time to say bye-bye. Say bye-bye.
Bye.